Well, welcome everybody to the Arizona Board of Psychologists Examiner. This is the meeting of the Application Review Committee on September 9, 2019, the time is 7:30 a.m. I'd like to go ahead and call the meeting to order. Ms. Pope, could you do the roll call, please?
Yes, Madam Chair. Dr. Malott?
Here.
Dr. Flowers?
Brandon?
You have a quorum.
Wonderful. Okay, we will move to item number 3, which is discussion regarding approval of psychology applicants. The first, Dr. Flowers, all we will do is go back and forth, and I'll go ahead and get started with the first applicant. The first applicant is Alexandra Menison. She has a PhD from Midwestern. She is submitting internship and postdoc hours. Together, they both meet the supervised professional experience. I don't see any comments to the application, so I am ready to move her forward. Any questions, Dr.?
It all sounds like a good application, and everything that we need is there. And it'll also be approved.
Okay, wonderful. Do you want to do a quick overview for Dr. Gray?
Yes, I'll go ahead. Dr. Angela Gray. Let me see, she completed a PhD at Utah State University, clinical and counseling psychology, APA-approved program internship at the University of Oregon Counseling Center. APA approved program, also an APIC member, and postdoc at the counseling services at Northern Arizona University since 2018 to now. There's adequate supervision and client contact. There are some typos in the application. She also had good references from Dr. Dindo, Dr. Lin. There's a typo on the form for the postdoctoral. It says that the typo started September 2019, went to July 2019. I'm confident that it went September 2018.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also noted that the postdoctoral training plan was not signed and dated by anybody. And so I'd like to see that ratified. And maybe even board staff could just verify that the typo on the postdoctoral form. Dr. Malott, do you agree or do you?
I think we need to have it correct for the record. It's not unusual for students years down the road wanting to submit these materials in other jurisdictions, and it should be accurate in our file. It might be in the file and it didn't get scanned in. It that in the file with the right date? And I think they are pretty good. We just make a note on that. Is it in the file?
Madam Chair, I'm taking a look right now. No, we did not receive a signature page for the postdoc training plan. That would be something I could definitely reach out to Dr. Dindo for, along at the same time that I have her correct the date, the start date.
Yeah. I think he has to correct the date. He who made a mistake, not her.
Yeah, the supervisor. The supervisor looks like made the error.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm sure they did that fix.
Okay. So that's good. So we would recommend how to move forward, you know, and we also work on getting the correct information in the box. The next one is Brianna Aldridge Midland. Brianna Aldridge, and she did her pre-doc. She's also from Midwestern. She submitted pre-doc hours 2000 at an APA approved site. She also submitted pre-internship hours, a practicum for 1100 hours. All of her practicum experience during the hours appears to match, and there was training time and everything in place. So I didn't see any problems with the application. Dr. Collins?
I concur. I think that's a solid application as well, and move forward.
Okay.
Okay, let's go ahead to Dr. Ewing. The reapplication received her CITE at Augusta, Northern Virginia, 2008. Internship, Miami VA Healthcare System, 2007 to 2008 hours in the postdoctoral at the Clifton T. Perkins Hospital, 2012 to 2013, and there was like over 1,500 hours there, and there was another contact and supervision, and there was a retroactive training plan. And let me see, minor thing I think we probably overlooked is on item number 7, she did not list 3 triple B scores, but I think that can be overlooked. And this can also be overlooked.
We have that out of the scores,
Yes. It's just it's on my microscopic stuff that can be ignored. So.
Okay, the next one is Ernesto Riza. We have seen Dr. Riza before. He is also a reapplication. He's been reviewed many times by the board, including his study plan. He submitted an updated study plan. I would like to say he's getting really close, and you know, he addressed that study plan. So I'd like to go ahead and, you know, given another opportunity and approve his app.
Yes, I agree. It looks appropriate. Hopefully this time will work.
Mm-hmm. He's definitely made progress each time.
Yeah, that's good. We're at the end of the job.
Okay. The next applicant, Dr. Flowers, I do need to recuse myself. Dr. Dave is actually a close a friend of my daughter, and I encourage her to become a psychologist, and she ended up in Arizona.
Dr. Dio?
Dave. It's pronounced as Dave, D-E-O. The O is like a V. I definitely need to recuse myself since I've known her before she was born.
Okay. Well, I can present it to the full board in a few days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the next one is Jeff. You want to go ahead with Jeff?
Sure. Dr. Fulcher, she has a license in social work. She finished her PhD at Building Graduate University, December 2018, clinical psychology. She had three internships at Sovereign Health of Arizona, GR Forensic and Clinical Psychology Services. The total pre-internship hours was 1,500 plus, and included the pre-internship training plan. Had an internship at West Valley Family Development Center from July 2017 to July 2018. Wasn't APA or APIC member, but there appears to be adequate contact and supervision as far as client contact and so forth. I wasn't really clear looking at the written statement from the training organization whether it was adequate. It talked about, for example, it wasn't really clear if there were opportunities for interacting with other doctoral level psychology trainees, and wasn't clear whether the supervisor had responsibility for cases if somebody was available in emergencies, and if there were two additional hours a week in other learning activity. I guess I was looking specifically at the training plan, but in the accompanying form, it was indicated that there indeed were those elements in the training. So I'm not sure if that's just me being picky or if that's something that needs to be looked at further.
Well, you know, I mean, the training plan that you've written is very specific to our statute. And looking, what page are you on?
Well, see, the training plan, let me pull it up here. It's pages 55 to 58. And let me.
Okay, I see internship training goals. One of the things that really satisfied me was they evaluated their internship against the APIC criteria and made sure it matched that criteria. And so, which includes all of those elements. And if you look at it, provide at least 2 hours a week for digesting, clearly the doctoral level psychologist, at least 2 full-time equivalents, they provide the name, other supervisors, 2 additional hours of psychologists, do they carry clinical responsibility? They said yes. So they really, the internship has a minimum of 2, they said they have 3. So they do address it very greater detail than,
Okay, you're sure looking at, we talked about clinical, the building, graduate university, clinical psychology, PhD.
No, I'm talking about the actual internship. They verify their internship against the APIC standards and make sure they meet all the APIC standards.
Okay.
So I'm on page 66. So the day I think it was above and beyond what we have.
Okay, let me take a look here.
If you go to like,
Okay, well good. I appreciate your input. You know, you work your training place. So, okay, well, then I think that would, you know, help me move my, I have more confidence now, so I think this can also go forward.
Okay, wonderful. The next one is Kristen Ferrara from Midwestern. And Kristen Ferrara she did a 2,000-hour internship, 8 years, which is all good. However, she submitted 3 internship hours to meet her clinical requirements and the remaining 1,000 hours. And she, if you look at the overall total, you know, her supervision was below the requirement. And let me go back and look at it. So she did it at Desert High, 2017-18. She had 918 hours. She had 520 direct hours, which is good. But she would need about 90 hours of supervision, and she had exactly, no, maybe she did. Because if you know 45 to 36 here as a group supervision, then the second one, the neuropsychology, she had 1,200. She had enough of direct hours, and she would need about 120 hours of supervision because of 1 to 10, and she has 82. So,
yeah, there was, one thing I noticed was there's, I think, regards to the pre-internship issue on page 21, it states that she worked 16 to 20 hours a week, but then on 19, it says she worked 40 hours a week. And so it depends. I think that there's some clarification needed because the one area, it looks like it was August 17, indicated 1,209 hours, but not enough. I figured that wasn't on client contact, but then a total of 82 on supervision, she would need 120. But then moving on, it said that she worked 16 to 20 hours a week, rather than on page 19, 40 hours a week. So I think, I thought the supervisor said, well, it looks like it was about this, you know, like approximating. And I think because of that discrepancy and possibly lack of adequate supervision, we need to ask the supervisor and the applicant to clarify to see if indeed it is acceptable.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, yeah. Okay. Okay, that's good. So we are not going to move forward to request additional information on the pre-internship, whether it was a full-time experience or whether it was half-time, and, you know, just there's a lot of discrepancies.
Yes, potential improvement. We don't have enough. It's not clear enough right now for being so comfortable forward.
Okay.
And then moving on to Dr. Lori Schurz, completed Chai Di at August 2018, APA approved, and then internship at Burrell Behavioral Health Centers, August 2017 to July 2018, APA approved, and APA member as well. And then postdoctoral at Desert Sage Health, August 2018 to current. Let's see, I indicated that there didn't appear to be enough client contact, but if we look at enough, the prorating, the way I do it, should have enough hours to be over 1,500, 1,547, and write it down. And there also is a postdoctoral training plan Dr. Robinson that are positive. One thing that I think the supervisor maybe thinks would be on number 10, let's see, where it talks about supervision.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't think was answered, and so I think it needs to be answered.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that could be.
I think people get confused with that question.
Yeah, and most likely it's fine, but I just think that needs to be fixed. And, you know, if it's in compliance, I think this application can move forward.
Yeah.
Madam Chair, Dr. Flowers, this is Kathy in the board office. On number 10, I'm not sure I understand the problem to get it fixed. It looks like they answered, the question is with 50%, was 50% or less of the face-to-face supervision completed? And the answer is no. Okay, could you explain what you're looking for there? I'm confused. I apologize.
Okay, let me pull up my notes here.
If more than 50% was completed using real time, please provide the percentage. So maybe no is the right response. Well, 50% or less of using confident. I'm going to get confused.
Right. Yeah, I think the correct answer is yes.
Well, 50% or less of the face-to-face completed. No. It has to be more than 50%. You know what I mean? If it is less.
Well, it says, I think the issue is you can't have more than 50% electronically.
Yeah.
And so it says, it's not the double negative problem here.
Yeah.
But with 50% or less, most likely it was. And so the answer is yes. But if it was, more than 50%.
I think what most people do is they improve the percentage and they say 100%. Mm-hmm. Or they put 0%, I think. That's
yeah, well, basically, I think, you know, we're stuck with this column, say, was the supervision done basically in person?
Yeah.
And if the answer is yes, then
and that's something you should review with them. I feel I'm confused.
But I think most likely they just sat at the same room touch, you know, and did the supervision. And if it was, then I think board staff could just verify that with supervisor or whoever it was, and then put the check mark at a yes, and then it's good.
Okay, Madam Chair, Dr. Flowers, okay, so it sounds to me, if I'm understanding correctly, I just want to reiterate so I can be sure I'm getting it. 50% or less means if it's zero, then they should be answering yes. Correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
If anything less than 50%, they should be answering yes.
All right. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you for that clarification.
Well, I can see why people get confused.
Well, it might be better, you know, let me rewrite stuff. It was 50% or more of the interview, of the supervision completed in person, live in person.
More is a better word, yeah. And most people are doing more than 50%.
Yeah.
And if they say no.
If it were like somebody in a different country doing supervision, and 80% of it, then there'd be question. I think that'd be pretty unusual.
Yeah, it'd be very unusual.
Yeah.
Madam Chair, Dr. Flowers, would you like to make that an agenda item for a future meeting?
Yeah,
that's a good idea. I guess, you know, we get another rewrite of the application. Okay, so I guess we'll move on to the next one.
Okay, I can do the next one. Stephanie Hamilton. She got her PhD from RIT in Chicago. She did her pre-doc internship at an APA website for the remaining 920, all the hours are exact to the dot, and everything appears to be in order. I didn't have a problem with that position.
Yes, I agree. It looks like it, it's kind of like I passed the finish line with supply, and it appears to be in order, so yeah, I agree it could be more forward. Moving on to Dr. Timothy Franklin, the reapplication. Let me pull up. Pull this up here. Yeah, looking at, let me, the shift between windows here. The date of the application is confusing. Let me pull that up here. Looking at page 13 on the PDF, it says date of application is September 17th of the year 20. I think maybe most likely it was, well, even if it's, it would be September of this year, because, I mean, because we haven't reached the 17th yet. In a way, that's minor, but it would be nice if it were fixed. Let's see, moving on here. The degrees you received are not stated. Number 25, again, this is kind of minor stuff.
Just, it is a BS, and I think you've seen that as BS, because you have a full lap on the bottom.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's minor. Internship, Southwest Behavioral, APA and APIC, back in 2016-17, postdoctoral, Stone McElroy Associates. It also appeared to have an adequate training plan. And has two references, Dr. McElroy and Dr. Weissman, which were positive. So, you know, I'd have a greater comfort level if the date were fixed. I'm not sure if Dr. Malone should think that needs to be done. Otherwise, I think that he can be approved to...
What page are you looking at, Dr. Robin? What page are you looking
at? Oh, okay. Looking on, let me pull it up here. It's page, bouncing around here. It's on page PDF 13. It's number one with full name and then date. The date.
Oh, it looks like it's
like
whited out or something.
Yeah, it's kind of minor, but I guess I thought, well, I'll overlook it because it meant September 17th, and I thought, well, what year? You know, because we're not there
yet. I would not worry about it because if you look at the page before that, it has a date, and this is the next page, and it says 10, 17, 18.
Okay.
I think you started that application way back and something happened, but we have the date, the fine date on the previous date, so I think that's
okay.
Okay,
good.
Then
I can live without that. There's nothing really of substance. And so I can go with that. So we can move forward as well.
Okay, so I think at this point, I'd like to go ahead and make a motion that we move Dr. Menester, Dr. Gray, Dr. Aldrich, Dr. Aldrich, and Dr. Ewing, Dr. Leza, Dr. Fulcher, Dr. Sherr, Dr. Hamilton, and Dr. Franklin to the full board for approval to move towards examination and licensure. bilingual board because of a lack of quorum. And Dr. Pereira is requesting more information. I'd like to make that motion. Do you have a second?
Yes, I second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Motion approved. We can move to item number B. Item number B is requesting approval for licensure by credential. I'm pleasantly surprised to see the number of CPQs. I think our students, our licensees are getting, very savvy about the CPQs and stuff. They saw like really easy stuff. So the first one is Andrew Mendoza, who is applying their credential, the CPQ credential. He's also licensed in California, and he obviously, he got his degree from the university program. He had an internship at Costa. The application tends to be clearly, the California one has more information that is included, and I don't have a problem with his application.
Okay, Okay, now I might have mixed these up. Is it Dr. Maria Mendoza Rodriguez? Or am I?
She is the last one. She has a different
answer. Okay, that's a good one. Is it the Dr. Lodge Chappelle?
Yes, Lodge
Chappelle. Okay. She has had the CPQ since June 2019. Also a National Register of Health Service Psychologist since 1991. And is currently has an active psychologist licensure in New Hampshire and Massachusetts. She has an active one in Connecticut. And that one I feel is adequate to move forward as well for licensure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay. The next one we have is Dr. Eric Rogers. Dr. Eric Rogers is also applying under the CPQ. He did report one incident 17 years ago regarding car incident, and other than that, he has had a CPQ, his application appears to be in order, and he has had no incident data post on the need for CPQ requirements. I don't have a problem with the application.
Well, I'm wondering, I know that the board staff sent an email message on somebody who submitted additional documentation on item number 20. Is this the one?
Madam Chair, Dr. Flowers, yes. His yes answer explanation came a little later. He had submitted the documents, but I had realized that we didn't have his written explanation, so I had reached out to him, and that's what I had included here.
Okay, I wonder, what we had originally didn't really talk about what happened, that there was no indication of compliance or documentation.
Well, he has all the other documentation. All the paperwork was included too.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, well, that's fair then. I think that one also is to move forward. I agree.
Yeah. Okay, and then the next one, go ahead.
Okay, this one is Dr. Wormuth. Applying by licensure by credential, National Register of Health Service Professionals since April 2005. Adler School of Professional Psychology, psyche in 1995, and has licensure in Illinois, Indiana, and Michigan. I'm wondering, looking at his DPPP, it doesn't appear to meet the cutoff for Arizona. So I have a question about that, about whether it can be approved. I believe page 7 of the application.
I'm sorry, this is Jean. What tagline is it? He's a credential, but he does need a doctor. It's 70%. It's both. It would be 70%. And that is the double criteria for Arizona. So we all decided at 70%. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it would indeed need it then?
Yes, it does need it. Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. That was my only concern.
Mm-hmm.
So as information, it does appear to be, it can be approved.
Okay. And if you're a resident of Arizona, you can come here and visit, that you think, or you
will. Well, at the moment, yes, I thought that, but he currently isn't, but, you know.
Yeah, but he does teach. I did look at it, and I was.
Okay, yeah. And if it passes.
Yeah.
That sounds good. I appreciate that.
The last one in this category, second to last one, is the Dr. Richard Wakefield. He is also a CCQ application and he appears to be licensed in Louisiana and Mississippi. He meets all the CPQ requirements. He got his doctorate from University of Georgia. So, works at VA hospital. So I don't have any problems with that application.
Okay, there are some things I'd like to see more clear, but I agree that it can be approved.
What's the?
Well, he didn't put down the DPPP and provide the score, you know, but he obviously completed it because you can't get the DPQ without it.
Yeah. The DPQ verification is pretty much all they need, you know.
Yeah, because the person's done all those things, and so we don't necessarily need to see the hard data another time.
Yeah.
It's done.
Mm-hmm.
And then are we to the one that I wanted before now, universal recognition?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, Dr.
That's my first one.
It is. And Dr. Maria Mendoza
Rodriguez. Madam Chair, Dr. Flowers, would you like to make a motion on the credential section?
They're all by credential and universal recognition is that a credential too, because they're in the same section.
No, they're not in the same section, actually. That's section C of the agenda. It's a completely different application.
I'd like to make a motion that we approve all 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 candidates, Dr. Mendoza, Dr. Lachapelle, Dr. Rogers, Dr. Wilkins, and Dr. Wakefield. We approve their licensure and move them to the full board for approval.
I second the motion.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay, so we will move to, is this the very first one, Ms. Bowles? Is he worth the recognition?
Madam Chair, yes it is. Yes.
Okay.
Yay, you have to make history.
This year, and I get to present it. Anyway, licensure by universal recognition. I was puzzled until I saw the category that she actually included her income tax return for 2018, as well as her Arizona driver's license, and She indicated an Arizona address on a time sheet term, and also her driver's license. She's been a licensed psychologist in Puerto Rico since December 2012, and from what I understand, that is adequate to be recommended for licensure in Arizona. And so I so move it to be approved.
Okay, so I guess we had a discussion on this residency thing, right? At the board meeting, and people are going to remember.
The documentation, one of them was they didn't, we didn't include tax return. I'm hoping that would not be disclosable on board staff to the public because they have social security numbers and all kinds of things, but I guess she was just saying, well, I filed my federal taxes and I did it as an Arizona resident. So it's another form of documentation kind of over the top, but it is documentation of residency, and also she has a license or an understanding. I believe that's all you need.
Yeah, she has a license. Yeah. You know, we have an indigenous gal that can speak to this. I know I keep thinking of residency, but how we do it at the university level, and, you know, we require all kinds of documentation. And driver's license and stuff doesn't signify residency for us because you can get it today and apply tomorrow. So.
That's right.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, No, so I'm just curious, has he made a determination on what we're using to determine residency in Arizona?
Kathy or Jennifer, and I can't recall because I have a couple different client agencies. Did the board adopt the substantive policy statement?
Madam Chair, Jean, yes, the board adopted the substantive policy statement. I do believe Dr. Malott was the one negative vote on it, though.
Okay.
I would kind of wanting more, something to be more strict as well. But I think Ms. Shree said, kind of speaking to the governor, saying that he wanted to make it clear and easy for out-of-state residents to come to move here and very quickly get a license. And so I think it was just, if you can give us, there's a list of things. If you give us these things, then it's good. And driver's license was one, the license, Dr. Alas said, you can come from any place in the country and get one today. You're not necessarily a resident, but, the key one to me was the state taxes, the federal taxes. Which
that could be, yeah.
I can't imagine anybody submitting that. But she did, and it's pretty hard to do that. I think she even generated income in the state in 2018. Mm-hmm. So it looks adequate, even though unusual.
Mm-hmm.
Madam Chair, Dr. Flowers, just for your information, in the policy statement, which is uploaded to the website for you to see, it's SP.08-19. It does, one of the objective evidences listed is proof of filing Arizona income taxes in the most recent tax year.
Okay, I stand correct.
I mean, that's a pretty good one. I think my problem is that they just submit the driver's license. In some case, she was asked for more evidence because we're wondering about Puerto Rico being a state versus a territory, and that was confirmed that it does qualify. So that's why there was additional questions raised, but I still think that the license in itself didn't meet the requirements, but that's just my personal opinion.
I think the applicant should be able to adapt some PII under the state income or the federal state income tax. There's over the top
of
income, social security numbers, and
And those will not be disclosed. Those will be maintained in the file, but they would never be disclosed pursuant to some records request.
Okay, good. You know, my, well, look at my hair, we're standing on end, you know, my son, yeah.
No.
Oh, okay.
Okay, well, you want to make a motion, Dr. Flowers?
Will it be approved? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Make a motion.
Okay.
Application by Dr. Maria Mendoza Rodriguez for licensure by universal recognition be approved. And look forward.
I second.
To the board.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I second that. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Motion approved. Section two, section C, we will move to the next item. That is the agenda, that is any new item?
The one that stated before, electronic supervision that be considered for modification in the application.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And Ms. Bowles did another that. So, I'd like to move to item number five, but before we do that, I just want to thank both staff for putting all the materials together and for everyone for being here. And Dr. Flowers for your work in making, this was a very clean agenda, and only one request for further information, so that's great. So we move to item number five, which is adjournment. Do I hear a motion to adjourn?
I shall move.
Second, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
And motion approved, we are adjourned. Thank you, everybody, and thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.